Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We're doing the broad book on the etiquettes of traveling. So the various etiquettes of travel. So today we start a new chapter. Babu istihbabi talab al-rifqati wa ta'mirihim ala anfusihim wahidan yuti'unahu. The chapter on the desirability, the preferability of traveling in company, and appointing one of them as their leader whom they will obey. So here this chapter has to do with traveling in company. In other words, when you're traveling, you're doing a long distance, a journey, then it is better for a person to travel in company and not travel alone. And there are various benefits that are mentioned and various reasons. When a person is traveling, as we're going on, we'll explain, as a person is traveling in company, then if ever there's a need for any type of assistance, person falls ill, then he's got one sati there, he's got somebody there with him that can help him, can assist him. Allah forbid if a person happens to pass away on journey, then there's somebody there to at least bring his belongings back home for him, bring his things home, see that nobody takes away anything. And there's some people there with him also to help with the ghusl, to help with the dafan, to help with the kafan, etc. So all these things get taken care of if he's got somebody to help him, assist him. And when a person travels in company, then shaitan also, it's not very easy for him to attack the person, because there are people that are around him, so he has to be on guard. But when a person is alone, then shaitan can tempt him. So therefore, when people are going on business trips overseas, etc., this is something that must be kept in mind. Don't ever travel alone. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he discouraged from traveling alone. Although it's permissible, we see from a hadith, it's permissible. It's not something that's desirable, something that's liked. Especially if there's a place where a person is going, where there's fitna, this facade, this temptation, we have to be extra careful, because when a person is alone, shaitan works on him even more. And then ulama explain, as we're going on, we'll see with the numbers, how many people, etc., should travel. The second part of this chapter is they should appoint an amir whom they will obey. It makes it very easy. For example, if you're going in a big group, which people are going to go in which car? Now then that amir will decide that this is how it will go. Then it becomes easy. There'll be nobody getting upset, I was supposed to go with this person, that person say, I was supposed to go with that person. It becomes very easy which route we should use. One person will say, this road is better. Another person will say, that road is better. So the Amir will make it easy and say, no, use this route. And we're all happy. We appointed that person as our leader and he's deciding for us. Where we're going to stop, one person will say, this garage is better. Another person will say, that garage is better. One person will say, this is better to eat. One person will say, that is better. So the Amir will make the decision for everything, and that whole journey will become nice. Everyone will be moving together with muhabbat and love. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us a very easy way, that when you're traveling with a group, so just appoint one person as your Amir and let him make the decision. Obviously he'll consult with the people and then he'll make his. And Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لو أن الناس يعلمون من الوحدة ما أعلم ما سار راكب بليل وحده. رواه البخاري. حضرت Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if people only knew what I know about traveling alone, no traveler will travel alone at night. If people only knew what I know about traveling alone, no traveler will travel alone at night. Ulama explained from this that traveling in a day alone is also not encouraged. By default, even by a higher degree, traveling at night alone is something that is even more disliked. So therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specifically mentioned traveling at night alone. An Amr ibn Shu'ayb, an abihi, an jaddihi radiyallahu anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-raqibu shaytanun wal-raqibani shaytanan wal-thalathatu raqbun. Rawahu Abu Dawud wa Tirmidhi wa Nasa'i bi isnadin sahihatin wa qala Tirmidhi hadithun hasanun. Hazrat Amr ibn Shu'ayb narrates from his father, who narrates from his grandfather radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, one rider is shaitan. Person traveling alone, one rider is shaitan. Two riders are two shaitans. Three is a group. Here we explain why it is important, necessary to travel in a group. When it comes to how many numbers and number of people traveling, ulama explain that the best number that you can travel with is four. Why four? Is because if two people in the jamaat have to go out for something, say they have to go buy something from the shop or get something or attend to some home affairs or some immigration or some issue, then there's still another two that can remain behind with all the luggage, and they can look after it. Then if there is anything else that needs, for example, somebody is injured, somebody is not well, then one person can take that person that is not well and go, and still you got two people that are remaining behind. However, if you can't get two, then at least get three. If you got three, then what happens is one can remain behind and the other two can go for whatever errand is necessary at that time. And ulama explained, below this also you can get still two is also okay to travel, not alone. Two is okay. So what will happen is ever there is something to be done, these two people must do it together and not do it alone. Preferably do it, especially when you're in travel, you're in a foreign land, foreign place, foreign area. People are not used to that place. It becomes more difficult, more dangerous. It becomes more risky. So therefore, travel at least with one company, and then move with him. So two, three, yeah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith is saying that the person that travels with three is a group. Ideal number is four. Obviously, more than that is also okay, but the ideal number is at least four, so that we can go. However, two is permissible, as I explained. This is how you'll do it. You do two, that they'll do things together. Three, one may remain behind, and the other two may go out for whatever errand is. So there's one person remaining behind can look after the things, etc. And Abi Sa'id wa Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhuma qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إذا خرج ثلاثة في سفر فليؤمروا أحدهم. Hazrat Abu Sa'id and Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu narrate, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when three people set out on a journey, they should appoint one of them as their leader. How often we travel, and sometimes it's three, four, many people we go, but this is one thing we overlook. This is one sunnah we must try and bring back. And if there are four of us going, three of us going on a journey, then in the car, or even before we leave, appoint someone as the Amir. Okay, for this journey, this safar, you'll be the Amir. You'll see how easy that journey will go. Everyone is happy, that whole journey goes easy. So one simple sunnah to bring in, is we appoint one person as the Amir. If it is a family, then by default, the father now is the Amir. It is known that he's the Amir, he's the head of the family, and he continues like this. Otherwise, when you're traveling with people that are not family, etc., then one person should be appointed and continue the journey like that. Doesn't mean he's the Amir for the rest of your life. Just for that particular journey, this person now is the Amir of that journey, that safar. This is coming from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The last hadith under this chapter, and Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, خير الصحابة أربعة وخير السرايا أربعمائة وخير الجيوش أربعة آلاف ولن يغلب إثنى عشر ألفا من قلة. رواه أبو داود والترمذي وقال حديث حسن. حضرت عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنهما narrates that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said the best number of companions is four. We explain this. The best number of companions is four. The best expedition is 400. In Arabic, the word is used saraya. Saraya, it translated as expedition. Saraya are those battles wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't participate himself. Sahaba participated. So this is known as saraya. And a ghazwa is where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself was present. So that's the difference between a sariya, a expedition, and plural would be saraya, expeditions, wherein Sahaba participated but not Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And a ghazwa is wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself participated. So yeah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying the best expedition is 400, the best army is 4,000, and 12,000 will never be defeated because of numbers. Yeah, ulama say the number 12,000 is regarded as a large number, and if they are defeated, it will not be due to a lack of numbers, it will be due to some other weakness such as pride, such as arrogance, some imani weakness in this jamaat of 12,000 that are out in jihad. If they happen to lose a battle, it's because of some weakness in themselves, not because of short numbers and small numbers. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is highlighting and impressing that our focus should be on our qualities, on our iman, not on our numbers. You lost, don't blame the numbers. 12,000 is more than enough. It was because of some weakness that we had in us. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand. A lot of time our focus goes on military might, military power, how much of jets we got and how much of bombs we got. But how often we look to see what is the level of our iman. And what is the basis of our iman? Here Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, the 12,000 won't be overpowered because of short numbers. It will be obviously because of some other reason. And here it is not military reason, but because of some weakness internally. So it shows that internal power, internal strength is something that a believer fights for. It's something that brings about physical strength also in a believer, that internal strength. Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. As we know, today is Friday, we should try and come early for Jummah Salah, try and increase salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and try and read Suratul Kahf. Encourage the family also to recite Suratul Kahf and take advantage of the time before Maghrib Salah in dua. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallah wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.